Former Vice President Al Gore is our special guest this morning. Gore was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives four times and the U.S. Senate twice. He served 8 years as vice president. He authored the bestsellers Earth in the Balance and An Inconvenient Truth. He is a co-recipient of the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize. Since he conceded the 2000 presidential election, Mr. Gore has become best known for his advocacy on climate change issues, work that led both to the Nobel Prize and an Academy Award. Lately, his business and corporate connections have also been in the news when he sold his cable channel Current TV to Al Jazeera, the network owned by the government of Qatar in the Persian Gulf. Gore is back in print now with a new book titled The Future, Six Drivers of Global Change, examining major shifts in science, technology, the global economy, as well as American democracy. It is a great pleasure to welcome Al Gore to the roundtable. Mr. Vice President, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
In reading this book, The Future, you tackle huge issues, science and technology and democracy, and you lay out a lot of evidence. And in my reading of it, I have to say, by the last page, it's tough to come out feeling overly optimistic.
Well, I am optimistic. I think that it is important to look clearly at the big challenges that we face. Ignoring them won't make them any better. But we have new possibilities, new opportunities, and we need to seize them even as we protect against the dangers that some of these new trends are bringing. So for me, optimism begins with an acceptance of the real situation we face and a determination to make it better.
But it does seem, though, there is so much working against us.
Well, we have a lot working for us as well. We have grown in the size of our civilization and the complexity of our challenges. We've quadrupled the number of people in the world in less than 100 years. We'll add another billion people in the next 13 years and another billion 14 years after that. And we're now producing a lot of global warming pollution. But we also have seen the emergence of a global mind. What I mean by that phrase is a global internet that connects billions of people around the world, makes it possible for us to solve our problems more easily and more effectively. But we have to reform democracy so that we can get back to good decision-making. Our democracy's been hacked, and the first step toward choosing a brighter future is to reform our democracy by getting the big money and anonymous donors and out of it and limiting the power of special interests.
I want to talk about that hacking in a moment, but I also want to address a few of the issues that you write about. One is the huge issue of fracking. You write in the book, even if new safety regulations worked as planned, and even if the leakage of methane is tightly controlled, the burning of natural gas still results in an enormous volume of CO2 emissions. They make the seductive case that switching to gas means we can bring emissions halfway down in the sectors that now rely on coal. But here is the rub. The atmosphere itself is already full. The concentrations of global warming pollution are already at dangerous levels. So why do we look at this as a way out?
Well, natural gas has approximately half of the CO2 content that coal has. So if the leakage of methane were to be controlled, in theory, natural gas would cut in half the rate of emissions that is coming from coal. But it's true that the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere is already at such high levels, it's causing very dangerous changes in the climate balance and stronger storms. All the climate-related disaster damage that we suffered last year would get worse. But as a bridge strategy to cut down on CO2 while we spread more widely and bring the cost down for renewable energy, there are people who make a legitimate case that natural gas could be a temporary a bridge to that renewable future, but only if these problems are dealt with.
Fracking, obviously, is a major issue in New York State. The debate has raged on for a long time now, and there has so far been no decision from Governor Andrew Cuomo. Given those political realities, how would you advise the governor on an issue like this?
Well, he has a tough decision. He's a good friend, and I have tremendous respect for him. I think he's doing a great job. My own view is that fracking poses a lot of risk to the water supply, and the leaking of methane, as I mentioned earlier, can wipe out any climate advantages from switching to natural gas. So I would say that at a minimum, there needs to be very tight regulation. There are serious problems with the concrete used in these pipes to protect the environment. A lot of them are experiencing problems. There have been water supplies poisoned, and I don't think the regulations at present are anywhere nearly adequate.
You look at this issue of fracking. It is something that was not brought up in the state address given by the governor, yet it's a huge issue in the state. You mentioned a moment ago about democracy being hacked. Is this an example of that, of how big money and these interests can take over an issue? And even if they don't influence it, they certainly slow down the progress.
Well, I don't. I didn't hear that speech, and I don't have any comment on that. I have tremendous confidence in Governor Cuomo. I've worked with him personally. I think he's an outstanding public servant. I will say that in our country as a whole, the influence of special interests and the contributions of money they make to the political system has really gotten out of control. I don't think that corporations should be designated as people. I don't think money is the same as speech. I don't think might makes right. I think that we need to get sharply reduce the influence of special interests in our politics.
The money and influence question has been one that's been hitting you in the past few weeks since you sold Current to Al Jazeera. You've defended that decision over and over again during this book tour, and I don't want to ask you about that. But my interest is, did you see it coming? Did you understand the concerns from, well, quite frankly, the very community that you helped build?
Oh, I knew that I would get questions about it, of course, but I also knew it was the right thing to do. And people will be able to see for themselves. Al Jazeera America will launch in a couple of months, and you'll be able to judge for yourself. Al Jazeera English has really established itself as an outstanding, objective news organization with a lot of integrity, and that's a good thing. We need more diversity on the American television dial, and we need high-quality news organizations. So, yeah, I knew I'd get questions about it, of course, but it was the right thing to do in spite of that.
The name of Al Gore's new book is The Future, Six Drivers of Global Change. It is published by Random House. Mr. Vice President, I want to thank you so much for the time and the thoughtful discussion. It's a great pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed it, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The Future, Six Drivers of Global Change. It is published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.